appreciate your presence this morning. It's good to be able to come together and worship God, and I'm glad that we can spend some time in service and in worship to Him today. And we do have visitors. We're thankful for your presence, and we hope that you will come back as you have an opportunity. In about 1 month, I will be, Lord willing, taking another trip to the Philippines, and I just wanted to let you know that that is coming up. I'll be leaving, Lord willing, on September the 21st, and we'll be gone for a little over 3 weeks. And in the past, you have helped with our needy brethren overseas, and I've always been appreciative of that, and I wanted to let you know that if you would like to have that opportunity again, you can, over the next month, you and I can be talking about if you'd like to give for our needy brethren, and I know that they would appreciate that. I have plenty of money that has been given to me by some other sources for Bibles, so Bibles are definitely taken care of. I'll be purchasing Bibles, but if you'd like to give toward benevolent needs, there are preachers, of course, and their families who could always use some extra help. There are other needy brethren that have different issues going on. They typically revolve around medical things, helping them with medicine and so forth. So if you would like to give toward that, you can be planning over the next few weeks in that regard. Last week, I spoke about things that belong to grace, God's grace. This morning, I'd like to talk about some things that belong to our faith. And when we exercise our faith in God and our trust and our confidence in Him, there will be some things that accompany that faith. James says that with regard to Abraham, and we're going to be looking at an incident in his life, a well-known incident when he offers up Isaac, that in his life there were things that accompanied his faith. James says that he was not justified by faith alone, but by a faith that worked. And so we're going to look this morning at some things that accompany our faith, and we're going to use the life of Abraham to illustrate that. Just like last week, there are things that accompany God's grace. There are things that accompany our faith. We're not saved by grace alone. We learned last week that there are things that accompany God's grace. And we're not saved by faith alone. There are things that accompany that faith. In the New Testament, when you look at the life of Abraham, there are four key passages that come to mind where Paul and James and the Hebrew writer bring up Abraham. In Romans chapter 4, Paul brings up Abraham in Romans chapter 4 and says that we are to walk in the steps of our faith of Abraham. Faith has steps. Abraham took steps in his life to be obedient to God. It was not a one-time occasion. It was not a one step. Steps, plural. There are things that we are to do each and every day to step in faith as we serve God and as we obey God. And it's in every aspect of our life, from our marriage to our parenting to going to work tomorrow and all of the things that we do, we are taking steps of faith. And so Paul brings up Abraham in Romans 4 to emphasize that faith has steps that accompany it. If you'll turn with me to Romans chapter 4, let's look at that particular verse there. And we need to understand that Paul is saying we are to follow those same steps. Paul is writing to Christians and he's talking about how that a person is justified. And he's justified by faith, but not any faith, a faith that takes steps. And so in Romans 4 and verse 12, "And the father of circumcision, to them who not only are of the circumcision, the Jews, but who also walk in the steps of that faith of our father Abraham, which he had in uncircumcision." Notice that Paul says that we are to follow in those same steps. And we're going to learn what those steps are today.
But if you'll turn with me to Galatians chapter 3, the Apostle Paul brings up Abraham again. And there he's making a little bit different point, and he's saying that when a person exercises their faith in Christ, they will be blessed. And so it is a faith that is accompanied with blessing. In Galatians chapter 3, in verse 6, Paul writes, "Even as Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness." That's a reference to Genesis 15 and verse 6. "Know therefore that they that are of faith," speaking of Christians today, "the same are sons of Abraham. And the Scripture, foreseeing that God would justify the Gentiles by faith, preached the gospel before unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all the nations be blessed." And so because Abraham believed in God, it was accounted or reckoned unto him for righteousness. And as a result, he was blessed. And all who exercise that same kind of faith in Christ will be blessed. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 11, where the Hebrew writer brings up Abraham and he makes a little bit different point there. And that is that faith trusts. Faith will put a trust and a confidence in the power of God. Now, earlier in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 8, the Hebrew writer brought up the matter of Abraham's faith and obedience in leaving the Ur of the Chaldees. But I want to look at the second example that is given in verse 17 of offering up Isaac. By faith Abraham, being tried or tested, offered up Isaac, yea, he that had gladly received the promises, was offering up his only begotten son, even he to whom it was said, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. Now look at verse 19. This faith that Abraham had, accounting that God is able to raise up even from the dead, from whence he did also in a figure receive him back. Faith, Abraham's faith, believed and trusted that if he kills his son, God has the power to raise him back from the dead, because it's going to have to be in Isaac. Verse 18, in Isaac shall thy seed be called. I'm about to kill Isaac, so I have enough trust in God that he can bring him back from the dead if he needs to, in order for Isaac to bless others. Faith trusts in the power of God. And then last of all, in our scripture reading this morning, if you'll turn with me to James chapter 2, James brings up Abraham, just like Paul and the Hebrew writer, and he's trying to stress that faith has works that accompany it, action. James is writing to Christians in verse 14, and he's saying, you don't need to have a faith that just tells people, you know, go warm and be filled, but go out there and help them. And Kyle brought this up in our scripture reading in 1 Timothy, that we're to be out sharing and doing good deeds. We don't just talk about it, James says. We go out and engage in that action. And so he uses Abraham as an example. Verse 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works in that he offered up Isaac his son upon the altar? We're going to look at that story this morning. James is now bringing in another element to faith. It has steps, it's blessed, it trusts, but it needs to work and engage and have some action with it. Verse 22, you see that by faith wrought with his works, faith working together with works. I'm talking this morning about things that accompany faith. Last week I talked about things that accompany grace. So when we exercise our faith in Christ, there are proper things that must accompany that. And so it was faith coupled with works. Well, what did he do? Look at verse 22. And by works was faith made, my version says perfect, it means complete. Here is how you can have a complete faith when it finally gets out there and goes out and does the works. If you back up in verse 14, some Christians were saying, well, I believe, but I'm not going to really do anything. James says, no, your faith is not perfect or complete in that way. It's only complete when you get out and do something with your faith. It then becomes complete. Verse 23, and the scripture was fulfilled, which said, Abraham believed God. This is the same scripture that was quoted back in Galatians chapter 3. Abraham believed God, Genesis 15:6, and it was reckoned unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. You see that by works a man is justified, and not only by faith. And then he gives the example of Rahab. Notice that Genesis 15:6 is quoted in the early part of Abraham's life, and Genesis 15:6 is quoted for the latter part of Abraham's life in offering up Isaac, and that shows that that principle is all through his life. So let's turn now, if you'll turn with me this morning, to Genesis chapter 22, and let's look at this account that was well known to many of us, the offering up of Isaac in the life of Abraham. And let's learn this morning some things that accompany faith. You're probably familiar with this great story. And what we need to learn this morning, brethren, is we're to be just like this. This is not an ancient story about a man offering up his son. It's letting us know today as Christians, these are things that are to be in our faith today. So let's look at it. In Genesis chapter 22 and verse 1, the text says, and it came to pass after these things that God did prove or test Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. The first thing that accompanies faith is that there is a door of faith. God always opens up a door so that you can exercise your faith in Him. Now, you can slam the door. You don't have to go through the door. But let me tell you something, brethren and friends. Every day, God is opening up a door so that you can exercise your faith. Now, you can walk through it. You can shut it. You can ignore it. But He wants to give you an opportunity to exercise your faith in Him. At school, at work, anywhere you are. God comes to Abraham and says some things to him. What is he doing? He's giving him an opportunity. When Paul got done preaching, Paul and Barnabas on their first preaching trip from Antioch, and they come back to the church at Antioch, the text says that they gathered the church together there and they rehearsed all things that God had done through them and how that he had opened up a door of faith to the Gentiles. That's exactly what this is. This is a door of faith. God opens those up. And when God sent Paul and Barnabas out to preach, He's giving people an open door, meaning an opportunity to exercise faith. That's what happens. Every time we open up our Bible and read something, you know what that is? It's a door of faith. You can walk through it or not. And every time we hear lessons and we read our Bibles and we are given by God's grace another day to live, it's a door of faith to go out and do what God wants us to do. Or we can just not walk through the door. Let's walk through the door. It'll make us a better person. Abraham walked through the door. And many of these Gentiles in Acts 13 and 14, they walked through the door. And as a result, their Christians and churches were formed in those areas. What a great thing that is. Let's walk through that door of faith. Read with me in verse 1. The text says that it came to pass that God did prove Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, here am I. The second thing that we learn with regard to faith is that it will have a test or a proof that goes with it. Whenever God wants us to exercise our faith, it's something that is going to show, do I want to do this or not? It's a test. We're going to have to make some change. We're going to have to give up something. We're going to have to stop doing something. We're going to have to start doing something. We're going to have to change our life in some way. And that's a test. What are you going to do with that test? What am I going to do with that test? God proved Abraham. Now, the older versions say God tempted Abraham. And then some who are using the older version say, well, wait a minute. I thought I read in James chapter 1 that God does not tempt people. There's not a contradiction there. If you have the King James, and it says that God tempted Abraham, it's not in the sense of luring him into sin. It's the word to prove or to test. God never tempts us, James chapter 1. He does test us. And faith is a test. Do you pass it? Do I pass it or not? Turn with me to 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 7. Peter talks about how that as we go through life, faith has a proof or a test that goes with it. Peter is talking about Christians who are suffering, and he says that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold that perishes, though it is proved by fire, may be found unto the praise and glory and honor at the revelation or the second coming of Jesus Christ. The proof of your faith. James talks about how that your faith is tested. James chapter 1 and verse 3. So what are you going to do with that? When we open up our Bible, and maybe I'm not a Christian, and I'm being told that these are things I need to do to obey the gospel, including baptism. That's a test. Are you going to do it or not? Are you going to do it and pass the test and be rewarded in heaven for it? Or say, well, you know, the test is too hard. There were tests in school I didn't want to take because they were pretty hard. But if I wanted to get the grade and graduate, I had to take it. And there are things, brethren, in life that are a test. And so when God is asking us to do things, it's a test. And when we read things, just take the passage that that was read earlier. Kyle reads this passage about how that we're well off, but we need to take our money and share it with others and give to others. That's a test. Are you going to do it or not? And it's all over the Scriptures. With our marriage and our family and when we go to work and all of these things, it's tests. So understand that that's a part of faith. Faith is not, hey, get out there and just do some stuff that you're already doing and it's real easy for you. That's not what the Bible's about. God is making us step up to other levels that are challenging. And those become tests for us because it makes us a better person and those steps lead to heaven. So there's going to be a proof that goes with it. Let's pass that. And in Hebrews 11:17, by faith Abraham was what? He was tried. He was tried. He was tested. And that's always been the case, and it's with us today. And you remember those tests in school? You had to do a little work. But wasn't it nice when you saw the A on the paper or whatever it was? And in some classes in college, the teacher was so hard for me, I was happy with the C. It was so hard. I'll take a C. I had a teacher in school that I was doing Bible matters. Same thing every time. A, content. C, writing. And I never could get out of that slump, it seemed like. But it's worth it to do the study or to do the work because you want the reward that's on the other side. So let's do that. In verse chapter 1, Abraham says, here am I. Verse 2, and he said, take now thy son, thine only son whom thou lovest, even Isaac, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and after him, offer him a burnt offering upon the mountains which I will tell thee. Notice that there is a word of faith. God speaks His Word. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. And so in verses 1 and 2, God says things. Faith is accompanied with the Word of God. That's how we can have faith. Faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. The Word of faith, Romans 10:8, the Word of faith. In Galatians 3, verse 2 and 5, the hearing of faith. Faith is not given to you by God. It's not infused into you. It's not forced into you. That's the Calvinist position. God gives you His Word, the Word of faith. You either believe it or you don't. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God, Romans 10:17. So notice in verses 1 and 2 that God said some things to Abraham, and that gave him the opportunity then to exercise his faith. So we're not sitting around waiting for some mystical or magical thing to happen in our lives. This is the word right here, and it's the word of faith. And when I'm reading it and listening to it, that's the hearing of faith. And then I go out and act upon it. That's why daily Bible reading is so important in our lives. And that's why, and I appreciate our parents here with young children, that's why we raise our children on God's word, because one day they're going to need a lot of faith. They're going to need a lot of faith to handle the things in this life. And it's directly proportional to the amount of words that are in their life. The higher the word of faith, the higher my faith is. The less word of faith, the less faith I have in my life. That's why I need to be here. That's why we need good Bible-based sermons and Bible-based classes and classes for our young children where they're hearing the word of God. They're going to need that faith. We need that faith. And so notice that God spoke some things, first of all, to Abraham. And that's where faith comes from. The word of faith. And then what we find here in verses 1 and 2 is that we find what Paul calls in Romans 3:27, a law of faith. In verses 1 and 2, Abraham is speaking to God and he's saying, take your son, your only son, and offer him there in Moriah. He's setting forth a law of faith. This word law in Romans 3:27 is not the law of Moses. And it's not even the law of Christ. Paul is saying that a person is justified by a law of faith. Think of the word rule. The rule that God is using to justify people is faith. It's not works of law. It's not works of the old law. It is a law of faith. It's a rule or a system or a standard by which a person is going to be saved. And so in verses 1 and 2 of Genesis 22, God is setting up, here's how this is going to take place. I'm going to tell you something and you either go do it or not. It's a law of faith. It's a system. It's a standard. It's a method and a means by which God wants to justify us. We listen to God and we do what He says. That's the law of faith. That's one of the few times where Paul is using the word law not to mean law of Moses or the law of Christ. A rule of faith. This is how God is operating. And brethren, the sooner we learn that rule, the sooner we learn that's the method that God wants, the better we will be. I hear what God says and I do what He says. And what a great thing it is that God tells us what He wants of us. Now, look with me at verses 3 and 4. And Abraham rose early in the morning. Notice that. The enthusiasm, the interest, the zeal, and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac his son, and he clave the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place which God had told him. On the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. We learn something else that goes with faith, and that is the obedience of faith. Abraham got up and did what God wanted him to do. If you jump all the way down to the end of this story, to verse 18, because you have obeyed my voice. Here's the other thing that goes with faith, and that is the obedience of faith. He got up and went. We're not right with God by just hearing what He says. We've got to get up and do what He says. And notice the enthusiasm and the zeal and the earnestness. He saddled his ass early in the morning. Let's get going, guys. And Isaac, let's get going. Not dragging his feet, not putting it off, not delaying, not procrastinating. Get up. Let's do what God wants us to do. There's an urgency here. There's a zeal here to obey God. And what he's being asked, verses 1 and 2, is a very difficult thing. Somebody says, well, I'll get up early if it's an easy thing. This was a difficult thing. It's impressive, the mindset of Abraham. This is a very difficult thing, and yet he's jumping at it to do it. Brethren, this is what Paul calls in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5 at the beginning of Romans and at the end of Romans, Romans 16:26, the obedience of faith. This is what he calls in Romans chapter 4, verse 12, the steps of our father Abraham. We've got to get up and we've got to obey. It's not faith only. It's not just some mental thought and then all of a sudden you're saved. We've got to get up and obey. And as a Christian, we have to continue doing that. Remember, Hebrews 11 is written to Christians. James 2 is written to Christians. We have to continue having a faith that obeys. In Hebrews chapter 11, in verse 8, by faith Abraham obeyed. This is a reference to the beginning of his life there in Genesis 12 when he was called to come out of the Ur of the Chaldees and come into Canaan land. He obeyed. And later in Hebrews 11, 17, he obeyed. The obedience of faith. Let's make sure that that is in our life. The hearing part might be the easy part, but we've got to get up and do the challenging part, and that is the obedience part. And not just with some, as Paul will write with regard to the giving in 2 Corinthians 9, grudgingly and of necessity. Oh, I got to go sacrifice my son. But notice that earnest zeal and enthusiasm to do what God wants because we trust that God is telling us to do what is best for us. So when we read those things in the New Testament, let us be earnest to have this obedience of faith. And let's take those steps that are necessary. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 22 and let's keep reading in the story. Verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder, and we will worship and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took in his hand the fire and the knife, and they went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, my father, and he said, here am I, my son. And he said, behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Abraham said, God will provide himself the lamb for a burnt offering, my son. So they went both of them together. Notice the full assurance of faith. Faith doesn't just get started in the right direction. It has a full assurance and it goes all the way through to the end. And when Isaac brings up the matter, well, where's the lamb? Abraham doesn't say, well, we just need to quit this thing. I mean, we've gotten close, but we just need to quit. He goes all the way through it, and he has a full assurance that God will provide a lamb. And according to Hebrews 11, God will even raise him up if he needs to. I'm going to fully go all the way through this. He just keeps going, and he just gets going all the way to the end, and the knife is going to be coming down in just a minute. A full assurance of faith. Some versions say the fullness of faith in Hebrews chapter 10. So turn with me now. Just hold your hand there. Turn with me to Hebrews chapter 10. Brethren, as brethren, we've got to be full all the way to the end. Some of these Christians that are getting this book, they're falling away from Christ. They don't have a fullness of faith all the way to the end. They've given up. Abraham didn't just get started. He went all the way to the fullness and the end. And so in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 22, let us draw near with a true heart in fullness of faith. Or a full assurance of faith. Having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and having our body washed with pure water. That's a reference to baptism. And after baptism, we draw near with a full assurance of faith. We don't just get started on the process as we go through life and then quit somewhere down the line. We go all the way through it. And so when Isaac brings up the matter, well, where's the lamb? Abraham just keeps pressing forward. And in his own mind, he's even thinking, well, if I kill him, God will raise him up. Hebrews 11:19. I'm just going to go all the way through this. And that's something that needs to accompany faith. And that is a fullness or a full assurance. It is said of Stephen and Barnabas that they were full of the Holy Spirit and of faith. Are we full of faith or just a little bit? Are we full of faith? Do we fully believe everything God has said or just partially? If it's just partially, then here's what's going to happen. The devil is going to exploit that little part that we don't have fullness on. He's going to exploit that. And that's going to be the little wedge in our armor that he gets in and begins to conquer and divide. We have to have a fullness of faith. And we see that illustrated in the life of Abraham as he goes all the way to the very end. What a great thing. Look with me at Genesis 22, verses 9 and 10. And they came to the place which God told him of, and Abraham built the altar there and laid the wood in order and bound Isaac his son and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took the knife to slay his son. Circle in your Bible those verbs there. Built and laid and bound and stretched. There's a work of faith. This is what James talks about, how that when he offered up Isaac, his faith was wrought with works and it was made perfect. Look at all of these things he's doing. He doesn't just have some mental assent. He's gone all the way to Moriah. Now he's actually doing everything he needs to do. Look at those verbs. Brethren, Paul talks about a work of faith in 1 Thessalonians 1:3, 2 Thessalonians 1:11. Paul talks about the service of your faith, talking about Christians in Philippians 2:17. Are we serving in the local church? Are we serving our brethren? Are we serving others? We have to have a service of faith. Boy, we live in a selfish world. Me, me, me. I'm not going to serve anybody else. But we've got to be out there serving in our faith. And what a beautiful thing it is that we see Abraham. And boy, the work was tough. This was building an altar to sacrifice your son. Not only is it work, but it's tough work. I'm not talking about physically stacking up the rocks. I'm talking about the toughness of killing your only begotten son. But I'm going to do it. And he's got his hand stretched forth, and he's going to bring it down. Turn with me now to verse 11. And the angel of Jehovah called unto him out of the heaven and said to Abraham, Abraham, and he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not the hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thine only son. And Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in the thicket by his horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him for a burnt offering instead of his son. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, in the mount of Jehovah it shall be provided. Jehovah Jireh, meaning the Lord provides. When Abraham had gone all the way through the test and he had shown that he was going to kill his son and his hand is there and the angel of the Lord calls unto him, lay not thy hand. At this point, he now receives the righteousness of faith. Because when you and I go through what God wants us to do, and he sees that we're obedient. Paul says that when Abraham did that, Paul's not talking about this occasion. He's talking about an earlier occasion in Abraham's life, but it would be the same point. When God saw that Abraham obeyed, it was counted unto him for righteousness. God says that you are righteous when I see your faith has been obedient to me. Your faith is counted as righteousness. The account that Paul gives in Romans 4 is talking about when Abraham was in uncircumcision prior to Genesis 17. Genesis 22 is after he was circumcised. But the principle is the same, that the righteousness of faith is granted to a person that they are right when they obey God. We're made righteous. We are accounted as righteous. And that's what we all want, brethren, in our life. We all want to be right with God. Who doesn't want to be right with God? But that righteousness that accompanies faith is granted by God only when He sees that we have been obedient. And so Paul brings up later in chapter 9 and verse 30 and chapter 10 and verse 6 that we are accounted righteous. There is a righteousness of faith, and it comes about when we are obedient to God. Let's all be right. Before we leave this morning, can we all be right with God? Wouldn't that be a great thing? And if there's something we need to do to change, let's do that. Let's all be right and have that righteousness that accompanies faith. And then last of all, and I'll close, read with me verses 15 through 19. Let's look at the outcome of faith. Let's look at the end result of faith. Let's look at the final goal of faith. What is it? And the angel of Jehovah called unto Abraham a second time out of heaven and said, "By myself have I sworn, says Jehovah, because thou hast done this thing and hast not withheld thy son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of the heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore. Thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice." So Abraham returned unto his young men, and they rose up and went together to Beersheba, and Abraham dwelt at Beersheba. What was the outcome of all of this? Abraham is blessed. What a great thing. When we do all of these things, starting all the way back at the beginning, when we walk through the door of faith, and we pass the test of faith, and we listen to God's word of faith, and we go out and we have an obedience of faith, and we have a work of faith, and when we do all of that, what's the outcome? What's the end result? We're blessed. And so Peter talks about the outcome of your faith. Look at this. Even the salvation of your souls. That's the outcome. We're saved. And we get to be with God in heaven. What a beautiful thing. Yes, it's challenging to go through that door. And yes, there will be some proofs and some tests. And there will be some work along the way that we must do. But we're counted as righteous. And the outcome is a blessing. And in verse 18, when God said all the nations of the earth would be blessed, we're actually the recipients of that to this very day through Jesus Christ. Things that accompany faith. Let's make sure this week they accompany our faith and will be pleasing to God. If we can help you to get up and obey the Lord and have that obedience of faith or come back to the Lord in some way, let us help you do that. Why won't you come as we stand and as we sing?